you can see on the screen, we talk about it's a sure thing. We like sure things, don't we? It's a sure thing 30 years ago when Back to the Future came out in 1985. One of the prophecies was the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. Well, they're down 3-0, so I don't think that's going to happen. Could still happen. Could still be a miracle. They can win 4 straight, but it's going to be hard. So that's not a sure thing. We can bet on all the racing horses we want. Not a sure thing. We can bet on our football teams or basketball teams. That's not a sure thing. We don't even know what gas will be tomorrow. That's not a sure thing. Unless you go to Moore's when it's 20 cents cheaper. I know that. But anyway, nothing's a sure thing. You know what else is not a sure thing I discovered? Now, don't be ashamed of me for eating pork every now and then, but I'll tell you what I did. Went to McDonald's the other morning, and I went to the counter, and I said, I want me a country ham and cheese biscuit. You know what she said? We don't do country ham no more. I thought she was kidding. I'm like, what? No, we don't. I said, oh, you're kidding. I've had it all their lives, country ham. Now, since they serve breakfast. And so I said, you're kidding me. He says, nope. So they told us, I don't know if it's that one store near Walmart or if it's all the McDonald's, but the one I went to is close to Walmart here in Statesville. They said, we don't serve it no more. He said, you know what I did? I said, well, Bojangles has it. I'll go there. And I walked away from the counter and went to Bojangles, got me a country ham biscuit. I wanted country ham. Nothing's a sure thing. It's not a sure thing. Ohio State, ranked number one. But it's not a sure thing to be running number one next week. It's not a sure thing. There is nothing that is sure. But this one thing in 2 Peter, it's a sure thing. We're going to talk about it in chapter 3. You'll be fine, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter spends a lot of time, most of this whole chapter, Peter spends talking about the second coming of Christ. Talks about the new kingdom. Talks about how this earth is going to give way to a new kingdom. And that's what we all, as Christians, long for and want to happen. Because this life is hard. When I talked to Steve this morning, you know, he hadn't got any sleep. He's in extreme pain for the biopsy in his leg. And, you know, he's got nausea going on. Thought about Melanie with that. He's got nausea going on. And he's got two kids at home and got a wife. And I told Steve, I said, you know, we don't know why sometimes. We don't know why. So I hate you going through this. But I know God is faithful. That I know. That God is faithful. And God's word is faithful. And Peter talks about this because we have sickness throughout our journey. We have, you know, I had several of my aunts and uncles on my dad's side passed away. I lost like 4 in about a 5-year period. Cancer. Several of them were cancer. And suffering. Christian aunts I had that served God all their lives and loved the Lord had cancer. No cancer no more they don't have. Disease they don't have no more and pain they don't have no more and struggles and kid problems, marriage, whatever, none of that they don't have anymore. And so I'm very thankful that I can look forward to a kingdom yet to come that's so much greater than what we're seeing here. Because we look in the mirror and we see ourselves growing older. I see folks my age that are completely solid gray, solid white. I'm not there. I might be light, but I'm not white. But I see my friends that are just like white at my age and younger. And I'm like, wow, we were just kids a few years ago. Here we are, gray, bald, wrinkled, knees hurt, shoulders hurt, back hurts. All of us hurt, you know? And it's like, how'd this happen? How did this process happen? It was just a few years ago, I was leaping locomotives with single bound, flying over tall buildings, you know? I mean, all of a sudden now I'm limited. And I see myself, I'm like, I don't look 25 anymore. I didn't look 25 when I was 25, but I definitely look 25 now. And I'm like, my gosh. And we have problems. You know, we have financial difficulties. We have family struggles. Every family has their own special dynamics. And there's always that, you know, one black sheep in the family, so to speak. I used to tell Melanie she was the only white sheep in her family. But we all, no, I'm talking about her immediate family, not you, Brenda. We all know you're an angel too. Talking about, you know, in her, you know, immediate family. And so each one of us have our own dynamics. And I thank God that this isn't it. I thank God that we don't have to always deal with sickness and with pain and with grief and with fear, with anxiety and with discouragement and with depression, with anxiety and all the things we deal with. And Peter spends a lot of time talking about and reminding us 2,000 years later, there's something better on the way. God said it. It's going to happen. It's a done deal. So look what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which stir up your minds by way of remembrance. Sometimes we've got to be reminded of what God's Word says. That's why we come to church. That's why we hear the Word of God. That's why we read our Bible and study, to remind ourselves of God's promises. It's easy to forget God's promises when we're going through a trial. It's really easy to forget what God said when we're discouraged and we're depressed because we don't want to hear it. All we want to do is loathe in our self-pity and our worries and drown ourselves in all of our sorrows. And Peter's saying, look, let me remind you of something. I'm going to stir your memory of what you've read, what you've heard, and what you've been taught. And don't forget it. I'm going to remind you. So here he goes. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, he's saying, I've been hearing this story now for thousands of years. Lord's going to come. Lord's going to come. Let me backcap some things that did come fulfilled that we read about in our Bible. Isaiah prophesied that a virgin shall conceive a child. His name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall save the people from their sins. Well, that came to pass. The Bible also talks about, we'll read here in a minute, about God said, I was going to destroy the earth with water. It took 120 years to do that, but it happened. We read, Jesus himself said, in 3 days, I'm going to destroy this temple and raise it back up. That also happened, as we know, in his body of resurrection. The Bible said that out of the seed and lineage of David shall the next king, shall a king come, and his throne shall be forever. That is Jesus coming out of the seed of David on the throne forever. There have been many prophecies throughout the Word of God that have been fulfilled. And so this one's no different. It's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. I want to point out something. The last days, we've heard this all of our lives. The 60s, that was the last day. 70s, last day. 80s, last days. The last days was from the time Jesus was on the earth till now. That's all been the last days. And I got proof of that in the next verse. Look at, you ain't got to turn there, but the next verse, 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. That was then, John's saying this. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. So we've been the last days for 2,000 years. And so the reason I'm saying that, I think it's important. I know that I definitely believe we're closer than we've ever been before. I believe that, of course. I believe we're pressing toward that mark of the kingdom being birthed in its fullness. But we can't measure that time like man measures that time. Because God's time is not man's time. It took Jesus 600 and some years after Isaiah prophesied to happen before he appeared on the earth. 600 and some years. Think how foolish that seemed in Isaiah's day. To say a virgin shall conceive, you'll call his name Emmanuel. Also Micah, the prophet Micah, also prophesied Jesus coming. And it was hundreds of years later before that happened. But it happened, and it came to pass. So understand, we've been the last days, and maybe this will help our thinking because, I remember growing up hearing it, and I know my parents, a lot of y'all heard this growing up in church, 60s, 70s, 80s, this is the last, last decade, last generation, it could be tomorrow, Well, it could be tomorrow, I understand that. But if it's not tomorrow, it doesn't mean it's not true. If it's not next week, it don't mean it's not true. If my parents go by the way of the grave, It means it's not true. If I go by the way of the grave, if Africa's by the way of the grave, it doesn't mean it's not true. God's promise will be fulfilled to a generation. It shall come to pass. And there will be a cloud of witnesses that will say, just as the witnesses saw Jesus born in a manger, who saw their Messiah coming on a donkey, saw their Savior crucified, they lived out Isaiah chapter 9. They lived it out. So shall generation live out 2 Peter chapter 3. They will live it out and say, yes, this is the day of the Lord. He has done what he said he was going to do and has changed everything. And I am caught up in that new kingdom forevermore. So take it to the bank. That's good news. It's going to happen. Now we pick back up in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For they are willingly or ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now he's talking about the day of Noah. He's saying creation itself teaches the word of God is true. For God has established, we go back to Genesis, the firmament was created, the seas, the land, everything we have today was created all those millenniums ago. It was created. And that same sun that God created when he said, let there be light, still gives light all of these eons of time later. The same moon that said there'll be a light by day and a light by night. That same moon God created. I mean, you're talking about something not wearing out. You're talking about a guarantee. I mean, I want you to think that sun and that moon is the exact same heavenly body that God Almighty said in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. And that light's not burned out and that bulb's not being changed. It shines and it burns and illuminates this earth and all creation. It illuminates it. It rises and it sets at the original, initial command of God from Genesis. And that's not changed. And that word tells us there, God does what he says he'll do. He is who he says that he is. That's a, to me, I just see that. I think that is incredible to think. That Adam and Eve and Abraham and David and Jacob and Ruth and Esther and Jeremiah and Isaiah looked at the same sun that we look at. As they sat on their little porch drinking their coffee, and I'm sure it's that old, drinking their coffee, watching the sun rise and seeing that horizon light up pink in the mornings. And light up red at night as it set. That sun guided them. It taught them what time of day it was. Even the Native Americans used it as their time clock. They could tell by looking at the sky, it's between 10 and 12. It's 2, 3, 4 o'clock. You could tell by the dial. It was the original clock of creation. And to think about how these great prophets saw the same sun, how Adam and Eve held hands by the same moon. It's a romantic night, ain't it, Eve? Oh, you're not. Eve, you're the serpent. It's a romantic night. They saw that moon. It's just incredible. So he's saying that was kept. The heavens and the earth which are now and by the same word are kept in store. He's saying the same word that spoke them is keeping them in place. It's for all the people that say this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to blow up, moon's going to bounce off, and the sun's going to come in and scorch us and give us a good suntan. Look, God's word keeps that in place. And the only thing that can change that is God's word. The sun is not going to start just pulling away on its own. I'm just tired of sitting here. I'm just going to pull away. God's word kept that in place. Sun is 93 million miles away. Think how great our God is. That something 93 million miles away illuminates this earth. And we can get to 100 degrees in the summertime. 100 degrees here on the surface. 120 out in the deserts. 120 degrees from 93 million miles away. I got a space heater in my office. I got to be right here to feel it. You know, if I get over here, it's a cold spot. I got to be right here to feel that heat. And here's something 93 million miles away that we feel and that we can see. It's just incredible. God keeps that in store. And he's reserved that unto fire against that day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So all things aren't going to stay the way they are now. Verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. So we are, and we can't help it, it's the way we're programmed. We think about it. You know, we think 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year, you know, 26 every 2 week periods, there's 52 weekends a year. Is that right? We're so programmed into time. I work 9 to 5. I work 2 to 10. I work 7 to 7. Everything's on a time frame. A movie's 2 hours. A game's 3 hours. A comedy's 30 minutes. Whatever. Everything is on a timetable. And so we can't measure our time. We think, people's thinking, people are scoffing, yeah, there ain't going to be no return of the Lord. He ain't going to come back. Are you serious? It's been 2,000 years. Do you know how old this earth is? This earth, church, is a lot older than 6,000 years. Now, God created a lot of things 6,000 years ago, but this earth's been here way longer than that. I mean, this earth has been proven to be billions of years old. So think about that. If we've been here that long, what's 2,000 years into a billion? Nothing. It's not even a percentage. So, yeah, we've been here and God will come back. They were talking about it then. I mean, we're talking about hearing Peter 60 to 80 years after Jesus left. And they're already saying, where's he at? 60 to 80 years later. Here we are 2,000 years later. We're still preaching the return of Christ. Still preaching the millennium kingdom. Still preaching this earth's going to give way and yield itself to the eternal kingdom. And yes, it's going to happen. It's going to come to fruition just as the flood did, just as Christ born of a virgin, just as all the prophecies we see and read have come, so shall this come to place. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Look what it says. Promise. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why is God waiting around so long? It's called a five-letter word, grace. Grace. Church, think about this. With our kids, they get older and stuff, you know, how much do we keep doing for them trying to extend that next level grace? You know, okay, need to help you here, get you here, get you, you know. We keep trying to help them as much as we can that eventually they'll get it and go, eureka. The magical moment has happened. I've got it. For some, it's shorter time. For some, it's longer. But we keep doing that, hoping that it kicks in, not wanting destruction for our children or not wanting destruction for the ones we love or whoever that is. We keep extending that hand of grace. So we've been waiting for a long time. And yes, I think all of us that are saved would, you know, I didn't feel this way 20 years ago. I'm a young buck with the whole world. I'm like Jimmy Stewart. I'm going to last to the moon for Melanie and rip it out of the sky. 20 years later, I couldn't stand up quick enough to probably do that, you know? So I'm like, I'm at a point, I'm like, Lord, you know, how wonderful it would be for the glory of God to shine, for the trumpet to sound, and for us to be translated like Enoch, to where the chariot of the glory of God just, and we just translate into that new realm of eternal glory. We long for that, I think, as Christians. I know Sam don't want that. He's got his whole life ahead of him. But for folks like, you know, Joe and Gail, not saying you're old, but you know what I'm saying. Folks like y'all, you're like, anytime, Lord, anytime. Whenever you're ready, God. I've sown my seed. I've built, as Solomon said, I've built my houses. I've planted my vineyards. You know, I've got my horses. I've bought my homes. I've bought my cars. I've, you know, made some money, and I've bought my beach house, whatever. But you know what? In the scheme of life, all that is really vanity. Because with all that comes problems, especially if you got a Jeep Cherokee. There comes problems with that because it's always in the shop. You know, your house breaks down. That things in life just don't always go right. And so I'm like, Lord, at any moment, I know you could change this world and establish your kingdom. And no one knows that hour, and it's so foolish. And it's so, and I cannot believe people still follow people that try to give a date of when God will come. How ridiculous is that? That is so stupid. And it's not scripture at all. We can't predict when God's going to come back by what science says or how the stars align. That's called witchcraft. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, nobody knows anything. Only God knows that day. We're going to see that here in a minute. So God's gracious that all come to repentance. So he tarries, so to speak. But the day of the Lord, look at verse 10. The day of the Lord, by the day the Lord is talking about his return when he establishes his kingdom. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Does any burglar announce his breaking in? Hey, Vicky, I'm going to be there about 2:20 in the morning. We'll break in. We'll come through your front window and rob you of your big screen TV and eat some of your burritos in the refrigerator before I leave. And take a shower probably. You know, some of them crooks take a shower. It's so stupid. Take a shower and clean up. They don't announce when they're coming. They stake it. They call what they call staking out, right? You know, and let me give you some advice. Do not ever put on Facebook, I'm out of town for the next 7 days. I'm down in Charleston, South Carolina. I won't be home till next Monday. I see that. I'm like, man, if I was a bad person, I could rake up. Just go to their house and break a corner of a window. They ain't got no alarms. They'd never know who was there. No cameras. I mean, most people ain't got all that. You know? But anyway, a thief ain't going to announce when he's going to come in. A thief sneaks in when everybody's asleep, when nobody's expecting them, when it's dark and it can be sudden. We were in the living room one night, several years ago, me and Mally, and we thought a car door, like on our carport closed. Well, a lot of our kids are in the house. So we're like, this is kind of spooky. Something ain't right. So I said, Mally, go out there and check that out. And I went to the door, and I opened it, and there's a strange man sitting in our, it was a minivan then, wasn't it? The space shuttle, the white space shuttle. He was sitting in the driver's seat on our carport, just lean back, sleeping. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't know what he was doing. So I went out there and went, hey. Hey. Just laying there. And I went and grabbed something in my hand. What did I grab? I think a baseball bat. I went and grabbed. So I went and got it. And then, thanks for the confidence. And I went and got a bat, and when I come back out, he was just gone, just disappeared. So the police did come on out and, you know, file a report, but you know how that goes. That ain't going to happen to that. But that was spooky. We sure weren't expecting him. We sure weren't, like, you know, sitting in the living room. I bet that guy, Frank, will come sit in our van tonight and just park in the carport. You know what I mean? He just snuck in. I couldn't predict that. Could you even predict a strange man coming to your carport, getting in your car, and sleeping? You can't predict that. You can't make that up. God's going to come. The day he decides to establish his kingdom, he's not going to make a pre-announcement. I'm just telling you, church, I don't care how prophetic a man or woman of God is or how spiritual, I just don't see God whispering to any one man, hey, I'm coming to Mark 3, let my people know. I mean, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. So our job is to be prepared ourselves, of course, which as Christians we are, and to help others prepare, to let them know, look, this earth's going to give way to an eternal kingdom. Do you want to be a part of it? Call upon the Lord your God and be saved. So he will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now I want to make a point right here. And this goes probably against a lot of traditional teaching. I'm not saying I'm right, but this is what I believe as you really read this verse. God created this earth for us. He created this earth for his people. Many teach the earth itself is going to be destroyed and blow up and all that, and there'll be a whole new earth, physical earth I'm talking about, created. You look the word elements up in the original Greek. Some of the definitions for elements and what means of it is foundation, principles, rudiments. Rudiments. So, what I believe is that the order of things as it is will be completely dissolved, completely changed, and God's kingdom will be completely established. On this earth, I believe this earth God created. I just don't believe God's going to destroy the earth, physical earth I'm talking about, but God will destroy the works of the earth and destroy all the things of the orderly arrangement of how mankind is. All the sin, all the evil, all the darkness. But you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm just, I'm in Christ. That's all that matters to me. I just want to make a point that the order of things are going to change. You know, whenever God put Adam and Eve in the garden, where was they at? Here, wasn't it? On the earth. There wasn't a separate earth. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden of paradise, and they were made in his image, he breathed life into their bodies, they were on this earth, which tells me, hey, this was where God wanted his people. He created this earth for his glory. Then they sinned, then they got cast out of that position of the garden. But nobody preaches they were on a different earth than we are now. So if they were created to be on this earth in the beginning, in the garden, why would God choose to do a different earth for his redeemed people? I don't know. Just a thought. Like I said, I know many teach the earth will blow up. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I think that this is God's handiwork in creation. So why would he blow it up? He would just change the order of things. He'll just take the flaming sword out of the garden and let us back in, redeemed and restored forevermore. So just food for thought. But whatever happens, the order is going to be changed. And the earth will not look like it looks now. There's not going to be no Kanye West up there using all this junk. There ain't going to be no booty shaking up on stages. There ain't going to be no, you know, all this junk we see all over the world. There's not going to be all this evil and all this just perversion. That's all going to be gone and melt away. It's all going to be dissolved. Because the Bible says here, as we get on, seeing then that all these things, look what it says, things, doesn't say earth, all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? We should be looking for it, Peter says. We should be hastening, we should be awaiting and excited for the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements, there's that word again, elements, shall melt with fervent heat. All the evil, all the sickness, all the plague of mankind is going to melt away and be dissolved, and we're going to be restored again in fellowship perfectly with God. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. See, this same earth can support righteousness. God just changed the order of things. He just changes the order. There was perfect righteousness in the beginning of the earth with Adam and Eve. They were created in God. They were created in his image. And they were in complete righteousness until the fall. A new earth and a new heaven is what we should be waiting for and looking for. And that day and that time and that generation will eventually come to pass. That's a sure thing for me. That's all our hope as a Christian is waiting on that promise. That should assure all of us, you know, there's a lot of heartache, a lot of hardships, a lot of unanswered questions, but this is one thing we can take to the bank and be sure about, that God is not slack concerning his promise, that there is a day of the Lord that's going to come, that we are going to dwell in righteousness with him forevermore, and all the stuff we see here is going to melt away and be dissolved, and he's going to create a new order, a new world order, so to speak, with his people. And that's going to be a wonderful day when that happens. No one knows that day, but it's a sure thing in my book because it's in God's book. It's a promise he has. So be encouraged. You know, we're going to always, you know, no matter how much faith you got, you're going to have body pain. No matter how much faith you got, you're going to have sickness come against you. No matter how much faith you got, you're going to have marital problems, kid problems, financial problems, because we are in this element of the earth. It comes. Sin has a big price tag, doesn't it? A real big price tag. And as the old saying, sin takes you where you don't want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. And that is the truth. And sin, with sin has come a lot of problems. You know, I believe Adam and Eve's marriage was much better before the fall. I believe human relationships were much better before the fall. I believe that the man and woman role was completely different in the garden than what it is right now. But because of sin, all that changed. Man had the plague of it. I still think male baldness is part of the fall. I don't know, but I really can't explain that. Some people don't lose their hair, so that don't really wash. But it's got to be some kind of curse. It don't make sense when you're 25, you lose your hair. That makes no sense. But, you know, how it is. Genetics. Well, we got genetic problems spiritually, too. And so we're always going to have weaknesses. We're always going to have temptation. We're always going to fall short of that perfect glory of God as long as we're in this element. But one day when the Lord comes, one day when the kingdom's established, one day when all sin is dealt with and the earth's established again and God himself is the ruler and king of this new order, things will be perfect and things will be right again. And there will be no more, there'll be no more sin allowed. It won't ever go back to where it was ever like this again. It'll be done because, see, Jesus came. And see, he didn't just pay the price for sin for, you know, mankind, which he did, but he also paid the price so his kingdom could be established again. His kingdom couldn't come forth without the blood being shed because the law had to be fulfilled and we couldn't fulfill it. But because he did, now our righteousness is in him and we have a great kingdom awaiting us. And one day, one moment, I mean, think about Enoch as he was walking along and the Lord ushering him out. Think about Elijah. Walking with Elijah. Who's the other one? Elisha, yeah. Think about Elijah walking with Elisha and how Elijah got swooped up. And, I mean, just walking alone. Can you imagine, Brenda, you walking in Walmart, pushing a little buggy, and all of a sudden, woo-hoo! God just takes you on out of there, and the employee's saying, well, she just poofed. Where'd she go? Maybe she went to aisle three. You ain't going to find her on aisle three. She's gone. She is gone. And Elisha, that people came to him and said, Elisha, let's go find Elijah. He said, you ain't going to find him. He has got to be somewhere. You ain't going to find him. And they search for days and days and come back and says, we can't find him because he's not here. He's not on this earth anymore. I wonder, do you ever wonder what he experienced? I mean, to be in our body, can you imagine, Joe, you're in your home when you're watching your tape, whatever you're doing, you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you just, in your this side, God just takes you and what do he see, I wonder? What do he expect? I mean, he did not go by the way of the grave. He didn't lose his breath out of his body. There was no funeral service for him. He just translated. My God. And the Bible says to us that's going to happen. It says, all will not sleep, but all shall be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. All is going to be changed, but all is not going to sleep. And that word sleep means die. So whether we're part of it or not, keep teaching your family, your kids, your grandkids, the promise of God, that you wait on it. Because there will be a generation that will testify. I mean, I go back to thinking about in Jerusalem as these, you know, scribes and scholars and all was reading Isaiah. And then now here comes little Mary of a virgin conceiving this child. And they saw this little child grow to be Jesus, a man, and then saw this man, Jesus, crucified. And then 3 days later, out of the tomb. And then walked the earth for 40 days and then they saw him ascend again. That generation saw the fulfillment of a prophecy 600 years later. So there'll be a generation that will fulfill this prophecy. But in the meantime, we look for it. We wait on it. We believe it can happen any moment. You know, we believe it can happen any time. And I do believe that. I'm not going to put a time limit on God. You know, I had a friend years ago, and he was young. He said, when we first got married, so I'm not sure I want to have any kids. I said, why? He said, well, you know, the Lord may come anytime and knows me having kids, the Lord's going to come. I'm like, you don't put your life on hold. You keep living. Have them youngins. You know, live your life. God will come when he comes on his time. And me not having a kid is not going to speed it up, or me not having a kid is not going to slow it down. God's going to come in his time. And I'm just thankful that he has extended grace to this generation. Grace to point people to a Savior. I'm thankful that he still cares about that one lost sheep enough that we endure the earth. Because, see, we win either way. You know, if Joe Brown goes by the way of the grave or if he's changed on this side, he wins. He wins. He's still in God's kingdom. He wins. And so don't be discouraged. I think it'd be wonderful just to, I tell you, the older you get, the harder life gets. It really does. You just have different challenges and more challenges and just different challenges. And so, you know, like I said, when you're young like Sam, you're like, man, what's this preacher talking about? Man, I'm 22 years old. I don't want to go to heaven. I mean, I don't want to go to heaven, but not right now. But you know what? Wouldn't that be cool? You're on your motorcycle, and all of a sudden, whew, just changed to that Harley in the sky. It's a beautiful thing to know that that's coming for us. So that's a sure thing. Be encouraged by that. The world looks bad right now. A lot of things in the world look bad. A lot of negativity, a lot of evil, a lot of sin, a lot of ungodliness, a lot of unwholesome things, a lot of strife, a lot of pain. You know, we got substance abuse and alcoholism on the rise. We got suicides where people are just taking their own life because they can't take it no more. It's a hard reality of life. There are times that I know many of us experience, you know, gosh, I just don't want to really face today. If I just stay in bed, it'll go away. If I pull the covers up, the ghost will go away. You know, it'll open back up, it'll be gone. But it's not gone. Life's still there. And if you don't show up for work, your boss is still going to call. You can say, that phone ain't going to ring, but it will ring if you don't show up for work. And they're going to find out why you didn't come in. That's life. But you know what? We can endure the hardships of life knowing it's very temporary. It's going to yield to a greater glory. Temporary. So temporary. So temporary. So be thankful for the blessings you have. Be thankful you're here tonight and healthy enough to be here. You can walk in these doors in your own power. You've got your right mind. You can see and hear and drive and still work. And just be thankful for those blessings. Be thankful. In the meantime, be expecting and be waiting. For any day God could say it's time and his kingdom be established. You know, there's a lot of questions about the kingdom. You know, people ask me, I don't understand everything about heaven. You know, I don't understand what we're going to be doing forever. I mean, we can't think about doing anything forever as humans. I mean, can you think of anything you could do forever you wouldn't be bored? Other than eat and sleep. I mean, you know, you're going to get bored. I can't explain what all that is. I just know it's going to be good. I know Revelation tells us this, that there'll be no more sorrow. That's a good thing. No more crying. No more pain, that the former things will pass away. So I know the Revelation talks about how we'll be around the throne of God singing, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. That they'll be singing and dancing. And I don't believe the kingdom is some kind of vapor, some kind of dream, some kind of spiritual things with no embodiment. I truly believe we'll be very embodied, very physical, but yet eternal. See, right now we are a spiritual being in a dying physical state. But when God has a kingdom, we'll be an eternal spirit in an eternal physical state. Won't grow old ever again. No pain, no sorrow, nothing. I can only imagine, wow, what that would be. You don't sing that song, do you, Melon? Can you sing that one? I can only imagine. I got it in there. Can you sing it in closing? Come on up here, sing it in closing. It's a beautiful song. We'll do that in closing. What's that? You know, we were created to praise the Lord. We really were. We were created to praise the Lord. And that's why people gravitate toward worship of something. That's why we have built idols. Whether it's a Elvis Presley, or whether it's a Garth Brooks, or whether it's a, you know, movie star of today, whether it's a sports figure, whoever it is, we have built idols because we were created to worship something. And God wants all that worship. Because we need to worship something bigger than us because we know there's something bigger than us. You know, if you go to the mountains, especially this time of year, it's so beautiful with all the changing leaves. And if you go up, go up 421 all the way to Wilkesboro, and after you get through Wilkesboro by the Walmart there on 421, just a few miles up, the Blue Ridge Parkway turns off there. You get on that Blue Ridge Parkway to the left there and go up a few miles, and there are several overhangs there. You can park and look. And just masses and masses. Have you got it pulled up? Yeah. Okay. Masses. You got the words to it? No. I thought I had a YouTube version in there, did I not? I thought I did. Check that. Because Ash did her dance for that. I think I got a YouTube version of that. They can sing along with you if you got the words. But you see those vast mountains, and all of a sudden you find yourself standing there, and you're like, wow, I am so small. Look at the mountains that you can see for 1,500 miles away, some of the mountain ridges. I mean, they're, you know, you can go to West Jefferson, and there's a certain spot you can go up there, and has a little map, and you can see the mountains of Virginia. It says, it shows a little chart with peaks. It says, those are in Virginia. So I'm standing there looking at Virginia mountains from there. It's like, wow, it's just amazing how big God is. The ocean, how big God is. We were created to worship something, and that something is the Lord. You got it? Okay. I did. It's for her praise dance. Casting crowns. I'm going to casting crowns first, like C. Yeah, they do. Mercy me. Did you try that? Okay. All right, come on up. I hate the words ain't up. Let me look while you're doing it. No, go ahead. I just want to say, I thought I had it in there.
Okay, well, I've only sung this once, and I think it was a funeral. I can't even remember. See, y'all sing it with me. I don't even think it was my key, but make a joyful noise, right?
Okay.
James, you never know. Just always be on guard because he might ask you to do something out of the blue. Oh, I've got the words. For me, they don't, but they know it. We've heard this 1,000 times. Y'all sing it with me. I can only imagine
what it would be like when I walk.
Won't you sing it with me? By your side, I can only imagine
what none of you. Yes, when I walk.
Now it's starting, James. Surround. Now it starts.
Sorry.
I can only imagine. Oh, you're right. What will my heart feel?
Start it over.
Will I dance for you, Jesus?
I'll sing it with her.
I thought I gave. Didn't I give you a little introduction? I must have missed it. No. Well.
Follow her husband. She'd be fine.
Well, you was throwing me because I was wrong. We could just play them.
Testing
singing
one, two, one, two. One, two.
I can only imagine
what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Why don't you close your eyes and just think about this song as we're singing it?
Yeah.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Oh, yes. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory,
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel?
Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall?
Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Yeah,
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, yes, Lord. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
When all I can do
is forever worship you.
I can only imagine.
Hey, man. Sorry we butchered that up at first.
And last.
Well, the key changed, and I was doing good at that key change. I backed off because it went higher, and I went too high. It's like I was 12 years old again talking. Boy, what a beautiful day it's going to be, isn't it? Can only imagine. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet. We'll close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight, you can put that on the offering plate. And Father, we thank you that we have a promise in your word, many promises. This is a very good promise, Lord, a solid promise that you are going to establish your kingdom. You are going to return and make all things right. We have a share in that kingdom, a peace in that kingdom, a position in that kingdom because of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Give us hope. Give us expectation to look each and every day that this could be the glorious day of your return. And if not, Lord, we'll keep on serving, keep on worshiping, keep on praising until we see you face to face. Bless the offering. Bless everyone that is here and all of our body that is missing, that is going through sickness and pain and sorrow, many struggles. We pray, God, you cover them and lift them up. In Jesus' name, amen.